Philadelphia, born and raised.
My name is Nathan Fielder.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, while choosing from three genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and all things unscripted. And if you want to know our BFF criteria picks, then stay tuned because that episode is coming up very soon. So definitely subscribe if you haven't already so you don't miss that.
That's right. And now, let's get to our guest this week and find out what's on their BFF criteria. We're super excited to have this guest with us today. He's a writer, a comedian, a producer for Impractical Jokers on True TV, and the host of a little known but very wonderful game show called Bet On Me. Welcome, Casey Jost.
Hey.
Hey. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great. I like TV, and it's fun that now I'm your best friend.
Yeah, you're part of the TV BFFs. Exactly.
That's what it means, right?
Yeah.
So like birthday gifts all the time and stuff.
Yeah, let's definitely holiday cards, birthday gifts.
Great. It's official.
We'll just always be checking out your publicly shared Amazon wish list and maybe a few things, you know?
I have a friend that does that and like is like publishes it, and I think I got everything on it and was gonna like redo, and I was like, I gotta step in.
That's awesome.
You're a good friend.
But actually, so Casey and I are friends. We go way back. The show I mentioned, Bet On Me, was how we met initially. So listeners will know Brandi and I are both TV development executives. And a while back, years ago, I created a people-watching game show. And Casey came on to host and produce. And it was a wonderful little half hour of TV that aired once on TLC. But to this day, it's still one of my favorite things that I've done.
Yeah, same here. It was so much fun. We had been working on it for a little while too. And I was so jazzed when it like went on TV. Like it was so nice to have a thing that we created, even if it was just that one pilot that aired.
Right. Yeah.
I'm still proud of it. Yeah.
It was fun. Nice. And it aired around like holiday time. So like we were able to like get people together and, you know, watch all at once. And
yeah,
it was a nice little thing. And it was a fun show that, you know, we took people watching, which is a thing everybody does, and kind of gamified it. And we had a blast just kind of running around New York.
And that's something I think you did. You did a great job at like proving that it has a quality that's like quantitative, that like really works in terms of like watching people and scoring it. Like that's something that I think you'd wanted to crack, and you really did. So even though it didn't get picked up for more episodes, I feel like you accomplished something that you set out to do, which was crack that. And I bet you'll probably be ripped off now is what that means.
So yeah. Wait, are you posting it on YouTube? Can I find it? Like, where is this?
It was on YouTube for a while, wasn't it?
It was on the TLC YouTube. I don't know if or where it lives anywhere, but I can send you a link, Brandi. I have it on like my personal Vimeo or something somewhere.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I love seeing things that my BFFs create.
That's right. That's us officially.
So now, Casey, before we get to your BFF criteria, we want to know a little bit about your personal TV history. So let's start with revealing the shows that almost made your list. So these are the shows that didn't make it to your top six, but they just missed the cut. So they're not your TV BFFs, but like they're still like pretty good friends and you like to hang out.
Absolutely. So during this quarantine, I watched too much TV, an illegal amount of TV. Cause I should preface everything by saying like, there was a time in my life when I was very young where I made a conscious decision to watch less TV. Wow. I remember being like, I watched too much TV. That was like a young, like trying to get on some sort of self-improvement. It was like, I remember it was the month of September. I was like, I'm not going to watch TV for all of September.
Wow.
And I did it. And then ever since then, I watched less TV. I had like this guilty association with like sitting down and watching too much.
Now, how old were you when you made this decision?
It was pretty young. I think I was like in eighth grade or seventh grade.
Wow.
Wow.
It was pretty wild. But I also, at that time, I don't think like that time period, I wasn't into a lot of shows. Like, I think at the time shows like Sopranos and like these big shows were out, but I, coming from Staten Island, I was like, well, I can't like Sopranos. It's too on the nose. Like all these like kids who like that kind of stuff. Like I'm not like them. I was trying to be counterculture at right. like seventh grade.
But so what were you watching though, that made you think like, I need to cut back. I'm watching too much.
It was probably just the fact that I don't know what I was watching. And I just sit in front of a television.
Right. The TV was just on.
Yeah. I would, you know, I remember I would watch a lot of like the reruns of like, you know, the classic, like, you know, Saved by the Bell and Family Matters and, you know, that block of syndication, Full House.
Yeah.
Those were shows that
ABC TGIF block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I like some of those shows, but so in terms of runners up, some of these are like from childhood because mm-hmm. I recently rewatched a lot of them and I think they hold up. So runners up for me is for one, I count this as one runners up. It's a Saturday morning, X-Men, Batman, the animated series and the Spider-Man animated series.
Oh, fun.
I'm there for the, I'm here for those.
They're so good. Mm-hmm. They're so good. They all have like
the X-Men cartoon was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. The X-Men was so fun. They all have their problems. Like X-Men, like in season five, like dropped this fun storyline they were doing. The animation got like kind of porned up, you know, like they, like almost like, remember like there was like,
it got hornier.
Yeah. It was just like, everyone was more bodacious for like a few episodes. And then they restarted it halfway through season five and it becomes like a Disney show.
Oh,
and
boy.
They completely restarted the animation. Everything changed 100%. They dropped everything they had started with. And they were like, let's see what happens. They did like three episodes like that. The whole series got canceled. So it ends on a bad note. And I think they all do. Like Spider-Man also ends with like this great cliffhanger and then it didn't get renewed. So it's just like you finish the series and you're like, did I even finish it? Like it's right. There's more out there that I will never get to see. And then Batman, the animated series had a similar issue where they changed the animation in the middle of season three. But that's like a noir. It's like really well written and executed. It's the first Batman to change his voice, you know, from when he's Bruce Wayne to Batman.
Oh, the gravel, low voice sort of.
Yeah, he was the first to like switch. Like it's always like it's same actor doing like a very different voice. Like Adam West and Michael Keaton, like they kind of just did the same voice.
Mm-hmm. Now, before I move on, I just think it's interesting that you mentioned feeling like these shows got canceled and there were cliffhangers, but now there's been so many iterations of all of these things. Have you caught up or have you stayed up on like the Marvel and all the different iterations of Batman and the X-Men movies? Like, was that something that continued into your adulthood?
Yeah, I love them all. Like even the bad ones I love, like I'll take any of them. I watched the Snyder cut. I watched the
all four not
the Snyder didn't cut. I watched all of them, like every X-Men, every Marvel, every DC. I watched the good ones, the bad ones. I've watched like Suicide Squad. I watched the Birds of Prey. like all
you
these are, ones.
You're in it. Wow. Do you feel like you've gotten some closure from the cliffhangers that never got resolved? Like since these worlds like have kept going?
Oh, they've created more cliffhangers for me. Okay. So it's like like a lot of the, it's perpetual. Like they keep getting canceled. Like right when I think it's good. Yeah, I like that style of fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, I like humans that have powers. Like,
right.
Yeah, we'll talk later about another one of those. That's a little Easter egg.
Okay, all right. Wonderful. Okay. Love it.
Yeah, but that like morning cartoon block has a strong place in my heart. And they're all kind of different. Like Spider-Man like used this sort of 3D element at certain parts. Like that looks bad, honestly, now. But like at the time, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then Batman had that darker, like I said, like noir. I also like that, like like the X-Men sort of thing, like the mutant thing, like they did a lot of like civil rights, like parallels.
Yeah.
And it's like that they were feeding that to like children. It's like kind of cool that they were like putting equality into these, you know, but that's what it was written as a comic book, and it fit right into that kind of like the 90s shows.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I didn't think of it much at the time, but now you're like, oh, cool. That's like, there's a generation of kids that got some subconscious, you know?
Yeah. And probably one of the reasons why it holds up so well on a rewatch. Mm-hmm. So
other shows.
Yeah. What else was close?
Yeah.
Okay. So in quarantine, we watched all of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, wow.
Be still my heart. It's on my criteria, I'll tell you that much.
So good. Yeah, I was kind of like, people must bring this up a lot, although it's always like, it's always in the top 10 of when people talk about shows. But I think the thing that is like a testament to it, but also takes it away a little bit, is there's no cursing. It was like an ABC family show.
Yeah, NBC.
But I give it credit for that because I think it like, it's amazing that it does as much. I think it's just as good as like a Sopranos or a Breaking Bad without having to have, you know, a lot of cursing or, you know, other things like that.
And violence.
Right. Like they toe the line really well. And I think it's fun to see that show do, you know, it was great. I loved it. It's great drama.
Oh, yeah. I love that show so much. You'd be surprised. It doesn't come up as often in these conversations. It's maybe been on an almost list or mentioned here or there, but it hasn't been on a criteria. So you just recently watched it, and there's a lot of difference between the seasons. Season one is like a really long network season. Season two was subpar comparatively and cut short by the writer's strike. And then things changed in season three. And then the story changes in season four and five. It kind of reinvents itself.
Right.
Did you have a favorite season or like stretch of that show?
I agree that like two has some weird things, and there's like that murder.
Yeah. Kid gets away with murder. His dad's a cop and he gets away with murder.
That's a spoiler. Sorry. I shouldn't say that afterward, but we didn't say who.
Yeah.
Just look out for a murder, sports fans. I would say like one and three, but I did really like four and five. Like I was just as involved in four and five. Like, I was my emotions were involved as much as the other episode at the seasons. Mm-hmm. I think three is when like Lisa and I were really like my wife and I were like really, oh, this is a great, great show. We liked season one for sure, liked two. And I think three is when we were like, wow, this is happening now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's when it kicks in because season one, now especially looking back, it feels like an overlong network season where you had 22 episodes. You could have done the story that you needed to do in 13 or 16. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then season two had its issues, which we touched on. And then season three, you're like, oh, wow, they came back from that subpar season, really nailed it.
Right.
From three through five, they're all 13 episode seasons, which just feel much tighter from a storytelling perspective. I think you're right. Three might be my favorite season. It also ends in an unexpected way that I won't spoil, but I really appreciate it.
Totally. And I think like they didn't know exactly what to do with Tim Riggins in the beginning of the show. And I think like, it was really cool to see where he goes. And Tyra, I left that show being like, I think Tyra might be like one of my top three favorite characters in the, you know, the whole series. And that's like the Coach and Tammy, Coach Taylor and Tammy Taylor. Like, I mean, there are Saracen, so many good Matt Saracen, like there's so many good characters, but Tyra like has such an arc.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah. That's a high recommend.
Yeah. Couldn't be a higher recommend. Anything else that was close?
Yeah. So there's two other kind of like close-ups. Like this is the hardest one. It's The Simpsons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just didn't know where to put it. I had it at one point as like a fave and it informed 100% informed like my comedy, like what I like and what I find funny, what my dad and my brother and me are like, what we like love and like connected with. We would sit on the couch and watch. We try to guess what the couch joke was going to be. Like those memories are deep. It just has so many, like, in my opinion, unwatchable seasons that it's just think like it really kind of fell off. And maybe it was me. Maybe I fell off because I think there are some people who still watch it and like it. But it just every time I watch it, it just feels like it's like an impression of what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Feels like an alien created a version of The Simpsons.
Right. It was riding so high in the 90s, I would say up until like maybe like what, 2001, 2002. And then
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. Like I've been watching The Simpsons since they were part of Tracy Ullman. Like, right. 'Cause she's like my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I watched, it was a family affair. We all watched it.
Yeah.
And those are like some of my favorite memories too. Like of growing up Sunday nights, Simpsons are on, we're watching it. And
good for them to keep just being able to be a show that long. I won't take anything away from it, but like, it's just hard for me to say it because at this point there's more bad seasons than good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's tough because the good is so good. And I've put it on and it's like, my wife and I are just like, this is still so funny. I can't believe someone wrote this many jokes that all hit. And like, and it's weird. It's a weird show and it works. And a family, like my family, sat and watched it and got that much out of it.
Yeah.
It had to have informed everything. I think it gets a lot of hate because it's like such an answer that's like, oh, obviously The Simpsons. Like, you know, right. You like The Simpsons? Wow, hot take. But but I think it gets in trouble for the back half, obviously, like I said, but I still think it should be up in the conversation.
I think so too. It's funny you mentioned that it fell off. I think that's almost the near universal opinion of the show is like the early seasons were really good.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I kind of feel like a watershed moment was like South Park kind of taking that spot. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like Simpsons was still really good when South Park came out, but then it got to that episode, the Simpsons Did It episode of South Park that kind of made you look at the Simpsons like, oh wow, they've done everything, which is great, but can they do anything that's not, like you said, almost like a parody of themselves at this point. And that for me was kind of like the dividing line of like, oh yeah, the go-to animated comedy in my mind is now South Park.
Well, and South Park, I feel like it's had so many episodes too, but like has really remained pretty steady and strong for the entire run. Like,
yeah. And they're often like oddly accurate of the time. You know what I mean? Like there's like a big topic and you're like, where do they, my wife Lisa always says this, like, it's like wherever they fall is usually the way that I fall, like on a topic. Mm-hmm. Although I think in the last season or so, they've been kind of being a little bit more murky about that stuff. But so I don't want to go on record being like, they're always right. Their opinion is right. They've become a little bit more libertarian and like, and some of that stuff's cool, but some of it's like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I think though, for me, the cartoon that has like taken over for what I loved about The Simpsons is Rick and Morty.
Oh, I haven't gotten into that. That's a blind spot for me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it's pretty fun. I mean, that gets a bad rep because of its like fan base does like weird things, like shut down a McDonald's because they have like Szechuan sauce. And
right.
Like a whole storyline. So I think they're like, they get that like kind of a bad rep, but it's really funny. I love it. I think it's so funny. Yeah. I highly recommend
it. It's pretty high on my list to check out when I feel like I've just been out on animated comedy for so long now. It feels weird to get back into it, but I'm dabbling. I've been checking out the show, The Great North, which is new. And has a really great voice cast, like Jenny Slate and Nick Offerman and a bunch of other folks are on it. And that's pretty good.
I think I specifically think you'll love it, Dan. I mean, Brandy, I think you will too. But like just knowing like how he and I are both sort of like Zelda geeks.
Yeah.
And like there's a lot of like fictional things, but they like make fun of it, but also play upon it. I think like once you get past like episode 1 and 2, which are great episodes, but just like once you get to know the characters, mm-hmm. it's similar with like any show like a Futurama or something. Like mm-hmm. once you know the characters, you're like, mm-hmm. like Chris Parnell voices like Jerry the dad. And I mean, he's just so funny.
Okay.
I want to check it out.
I'm excited about it though. It's like, I've heard about it one too many times. It's one of those shows, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I think it's a real easy watch. I wish I could like play. I wish I could watch it again from like for the first time.
Wow. I love it. But that didn't make your criteria, did it?
No.
Wow. Okay. What you mentioned there was one more that was close. Did we talk about it already?
The only other one that I kind of don't even want to discuss is Lost, because like,
oh boy.
I think we all have had that conversation about Lost. Right? Like I'm sure everyone has had that feeling about Lost. If you've loved Lost and you lost your love for Lost.
Yeah. That show is a trip and you could do a whole hour just on that, but we won't, because now it's time to get to your TV BFF criteria. So a quick recap, we asked you to pick 6 shows in total with 2 shows in each of the 3 categories. Those categories are best, favorite, and forever. So to describe each category, your best shows are the ones that you think are the most artistic or well executed or just kind of overall the best made shows you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart and mean something to you more personally. And then the best way to describe the forever category is if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose 2 shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over. What are those shows?
Great.
And for each category, we had you choose from the three overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted. And unscripted is everything from reality shows to game shows to documentary series. The only thing is that there must be multiple episodes. There's no one-offs. So, but other than that, you know, it can be anything. And most importantly, there is no such thing as a guilty pleasure here, okay? We enjoy all TV. All TV is good. And whatever you like, you like. And we want to hear about it.
Yes.
And the only other rule is that you can't double up on a genre in any category. So if you pick a comedy in your best category, your other pick has to be unscripted or drama. And that's because, like, we had to make a little bit of a game out of it, right?
Yeah, it's got to stay interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun. And I made a mistake at one point and I had to fix it.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Casey, mm-hmm. What's your first best show?
All right. It's a little show called Mad Men.
Okay.
I love it so much. When it was on, I didn't really watch it, but my wife did. And then I kind of caught the tail end, mm-hmm. but without watching like too much of it, you know, she was mostly watching it and I was doing other things. And then I don't know why. I think I was just like, oh, I want to dip into a timepiece show. And I thought like, you know, I've always wanted to check that out. And I had another friend that like was like, loved it and was like, he was like, oh, it's a show that makes you want to drink and smoke cigarettes.
It really does.
Truly. Yeah, it's rough.
And then we've now watched it three times through.
Wow.
Since that first, like,
and how long ago was that?
So it was probably like 2012 or 13 is probably when it finished, and I was watching a little bit of season 4 and 5, mm-hmm. or was maybe that broken up final season,
right?
That was into two parts. And then I think maybe a year later, I probably watched the first time, and then like 2 years later, and then 2 years, and then just recently we did it in quarantine, mm-hmm. and we were really happy with it, rewatching it, because it's like, it was comforting. It's one of those shows that once it finishes, you're like, oh man, I don't have this in my life anymore. Like,
yeah.
And you know, you can't restart it again, but this last round was really cool and interesting. And it's just like, there's this charisma that you get out of the characters. It's mm-hmm. it's just fun. It's feel good TV for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear from you as someone who's rewatched it several times.
Yeah.
Especially you just said, you know, this latest one, this last pandemic watch was really rewarding. What was it about? What are you picking up the third time in that kind of compounds how good it is? I mean, it's in your best category for a reason. So it seems like it gets better every time you watch it. Why is that?
I don't know. As we were watching, and first of all, it's like comfort food at this point.
Right.
And it's like, we love Peggy. We love Don. We love John Slattery. Like, these characters are so great. And I think what we were picking up on is we were like really seeing Don as Tony Soprano and doing a lot of parallels of that. And it's similar. It's actually the writer wrote for Sopranos in like the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Matt Weiner.
Yeah. And you could tell, and it's like, I don't think Mad Men would be as good as it is if he didn't write for that show and have to balance all those characters.
Huh.
But in some ways it, like, I don't know, it pulls away because it's this, and I love these cartoonish characters that are in The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. It takes that out of it though. But I mean, you know, you still have lots of humor and lots of weird moments that happen every season where someone's foot is run over by a lawnmower
in the office.
In the office.
Wild.
Yeah, I just think every season is good. I think there are some people who feel like it falls off, but I never feel like it does. I feel like it just explores other characters. I think upon rewatches, like, you get a little bit more upset with Don, and then towards the end, you're like, well, that is who he is, and it's not his fault, you know. And but it is,
right?
It's so complicated, and I think it does drama so well. It's like in this like sexy, messed up way, you know, and it. It's in another time period, so it just takes you away. And it's also light. It's hard to balance those two things. I think like Succession kind of does, but it's hard sometimes to, it's more of this like juxtaposition, whereas Mad Men is just really balancing like when it gives you each slowly.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like Succession sometimes like it cuts tension, whereas Mad Men is like there's tension and there's rest and there's tension and there's rest. It's more
of a smoother flow, you know?
Yeah, like a symphony or something.
Yeah.
Like, after kind of watching it all these times, like, are there any arcs that, like, you're like, oh, can't wait till I get to that part? Because I know that, like, because I've only watched it through once. I want to watch it again because my husband's never seen it. But I think I watched the first two seasons twice because at the time my roommate had also started watching it. And so, like, I watched it again with her. But yeah, like, do you have, like, any, like a favorite, like, I love when he's in LA.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Like, I love how it looks.
Yeah, I know. And he, like, him jumping into a pool is, like, so cool. I think my favorite arc, it's another thing we talk about, is the time period. Switching from the early 60s to the late 60s. It's not just that it's set in a time period. It's a changing time period.
Yeah.
Huge changes.
Yeah.
And so that's the arc to me that I'm always like, oh, I can't wait to see, like, you know, new characters are to come in and their suits are going to be different and Don's going to look outdated, but he doesn't because it's classic. And it's, but he's still this, like, stuck in his ways, like, alcoholic that is, like, you know, at a time where, like, that's not treated as an alcoholic. It's like,
right,
you know,
they really normalized just, like, drinking scotch at 10:30 in the morning.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, that's just something that we do.
It would be crazy. I mean, it would just be
like,
be
how chaos. Quickly would things go down if everyone was allowed to just have a martini?
I know.
At 11. Like, that's the thing too. It's like, it wasn't just like they were just sipping on White Claws.
That's like, the modern. Yeah. That's the parallel, right?
Tell you what, I feel like modern day Don Draper creates White Claw for whatever right. company that is. That's in his pitch. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He'd be like a seltzer refreshment in the summer. Alcohol, letting you release those inhibitions, put them together. What's something that's fierce, but doesn't scare you? White Claw.
That was perfect. Really good.
This has just inspired a question. Do you have a favorite Don pitch or Peggy, but do you have like a favorite pitch or two from the show? Cause I mean, the three of us, this is something that we do often. We're in the business of pitching ideas and convincing other people that they are good. Right. So like, were there any pitches that really connected with you? Like, oh fuck, that was a good move there.
You know, it's interesting is like, this is another thing upon rewatching is like, you know, when you think of it, he's like, you know, exactly what I just did. Like, he's just like selling everyone, but there's a lot of times like he misses or he's just like, you know, like they don't get it. The client doesn't get it. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to watch it again, because you're like, how many hits does he really have?
Yeah.
But there's, I think there's like one where he like makes the client cry, like in happiness. And I don't remember exactly what the product is, but it's definitely that one.
My first job, I was in-house at a fur company with this old pro copywriter, Greek, named Teddy. And Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is nostalgia. It's delicate, but potent. Teddy told me that in Greek, nostalgia literally means the pain from an old wound. It's a twinge in your heart, far more powerful than memory alone. This device isn't a spaceship. It's a time machine. It takes us to a place where we ache to go again. It's not called the wheel. It's called the carousel.
But I also love to see the crash and burn, like the one where he was like, I was like, you know, he pitches this thing and they're like, yeah, it's good. You know, and he's like, I was raised by whores. Like, one of the whores would give me it was Hershey's. One of the whores would give me a candy bar, and that's what I associate with your product. And then it's like, they're like, why did you do that? Like, they're all mad at him. It doesn't work. And it's like, but he wasn't trying to make it work. He was just like at the end of his rope.
Yeah. Just having an emotional reaction, you know?
Yeah. There's also these really fun, weird episodes where like there's an episode where John Slattery does acid and that's like the whole episode looks weird and fun. And they do that stuff sometimes too, which is cool.
Well, that's a great first pick. What's your second best show, Casey Jost?
It is a little show called Nathan For You.
Good one. First time that this has come up. Love this pick. Let's talk about it. What do you love about it?
Okay. I don't think there's ever been a show like it. I think it's in a class of its own. And it's it's a comedy. It's almost, it's not even unscripted, because I feel like they just see where something goes and they follow it.
Right.
So it's
a hybrid of comedy. And I was going to ask, if you had to categorize it as one or the other, which would you choose?
Yeah, because it's got reality show elements too. Because it's like Nathan's putting himself, is like his real life on the line in certain situations, or like just talking about himself, even though it's kind of, he's playing a version of himself, and it's poking fun at this concept of like HGTV or something, where I'm like trying to help your business, or like restaurant makeover or something, where he's
the prophet, or you know.
Yeah, so it's like satire, but then it just goes to so many unexpected places, because he's like putting real people on TV, and they're just doing that thing that we see. So it's a lot of, it's like made in the edit, because they're just showing them for who they are, and it pulls back this curtain. It's hard. It's actually like, I love the show so much, and it's really hard to explain what it is. But when you watch it, it has these moments that you just don't expect, and it's truly surprising.
That surprising is a great word to describe it, because you really don't know what you're going to get in any episode, even if you know what it's about. Because I was going to say, like, for our listeners who haven't heard of Nathan For You, give a little top line on what it's about.
So Nathan Fielder is, it actually came from a show that was called Nathan On Your Side, which was a section of a sketch show called This Show Has 23 Minutes. It was like a Canadian show.
Huh.
Anyway, Nathan Fielder says, he's like, I went to college and studied business and did really well. And like, and it shows his report card, and there's like B's and C's. And then he's like, and I'm here to help businesses out, you know, with like his ideas. And so he has these bad ideas where, like, you know, I think in the pilot episode, there's like a yogurt place that's not doing great. So he's like, you should have a poop flavored yogurt, because, like, you know, all press is good press. And so that's sort of everything, is having them have a bad idea and going at the things such as like rebates. You know what I mean? Like, no one's really going to do it, or whatever it is, or like, we'll match your price. Price matching is one that he does. But in order to get the TV, you have to like go through like a small hole in it. There's an alligator there you have to get past in order to pick up the TV. Like, he always has these like elaborate schemes. He also like got actual things to go viral.
I'm just going to say, I remember the Starbucks thing was like a big moment.
Dumb Starbucks. He used parody law. And he got away with it. I mean, eventually closed, but like he did that, and people didn't know it was Nathan For You. He also had like a video. He like orchestrated this huge thing. He made a fake pond, and he had it look like a pig saved a duck, or a duck saved a pig from a pond, but they were all on a track, and like, it was real animals, but like, there was no other way that it wouldn't look like that. And it went viral, and people were like, this is so cute. Like, this duck saves a pig. But it was just like, they put like clear tubing and stuff like underneath them, like boxes, and they just faked it and made it look like with a shaky camera. And you know, so it plays against the hypocrisy of like these videos and stuff, and it's interesting.
Yeah, it's goofy, and it's kind of off the wall, and like really surprising is a great word, unexpected. Like all these words that, you know, network executives love to hear now, like what's something that's unlike I've ever seen, what's a big swing, you know, what's gonna be loud and buzzy, and like this hits all of those sort of boxes.
Yeah, there's nothing like it, and because there's nothing like it, I feel like after it came out, and it's like, oh, like, you know, people are thinking it's really fun, it's really good, it's like, but you can't copy it.
No, because people will try. I mean, I've seen so many pitches, like, it's Nathan For You meets, you know what I mean, like that happens all the time.
He's so original, and like
it's truly original. Have you guys seen How To with John Wilson?
I was just going to bring this up. I was going to say, are you also a How To fan? Because that's produced by Nathan Fielder and has a lot of similar.
That's the HBO.
HBO.
It's just a guy who's culminated tons and tons of footage and like packages it together. It's, again, surprising. It's another one of these shows that I'm like, comfort food. Like, it's so relaxing to watch. It's like, and again, it's like nothing. He's actually even more so than Nathan, because Nathan's kind of doing a parody of genres. He's created a show that has nothing, there's nothing else like it, except for if you maybe look at like a Ken Burns documentary, but imagine there was no actual documentary.
Right.
It's just him kind of talking. He's got a loose idea of what he's talking about, but he uses these photos sometimes, like, and or videos of like someone just opening up their door and puking out of the car and closing it. And you're like, how does he have this footage?
Yeah.
But it's all like on the street of just nabbing people. It's like all these weird little moments that he's captured, and it's very New York.
Yeah. And well, to bring it full circle, like he's basically like a professional people watcher. He just has like glasses cam on all the time. And just like seeking out interesting shit. And if he finds it, he stays with it. Like, unlike most people, unlike most New Yorkers, you see something weird, you keep on moving. Mm-hmm. He'll stay, he'll linger and like see it through to his conclusion and get those moments that populate the show that I think you're right. There's nothing like it, but it feels as surprising, as funny as Nathan For You. But I think both of those shows, and to get back to Nathan For You, are also like about like the human condition and are very emotional at points. And like, they're about more than what you think they are.
Yeah. I definitely felt like this is my show. This is my show. I love this. This defines who I am. Like if I watched this as a kid, it would have been like, this is all I want to do. You know, I remember watching stuff like Kids in the Hall or, you know, even like some SNL sketches where I was like, this is who I am. Like this speaks to me. And Nathan For You, I got a taste of that as an adult, like in my 20s, like, wow, this speaks to me.
I love it. Great pick. I mean, it's in a class of its own. It makes perfect sense as a best show. I love it. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next category, your favorite shows. Casey, what's your first favorite show? We know The Simpsons is not here. Mm-hmm. Late in the game omission. So what's in there now?
Do you guys want to hear a guilty pleasure or do you want to hear like an old standby?
Let's do a guilty pleasure.
All right.
Because we had an old standby with Mad Men, I think.
Earlier, we were talking about how I like... you know, Marvel-esque, you know, superhero-y things.
Sure.
This is a show that I've watched every single episode. And it's had, I think, 5 seasons. And they are like hour episodes. And I'm dragging it out here just because it's when I say it, it's going to sound crazy. I think I've actually like... I think it has 123 episodes, 6 seasons. I've seen every single one.
6 seasons, 100. So this sounds like a network show. Okay. That many seasons feels like a network show. Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Heroes?
No, great guess.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right.
It is worse. It is NBC's Grimm.
Grimm?
Wow. Whoa.
No one's bringing Grimm on this show, guys.
I don't think so.
So
tell us about what is it? I feel like not a lot of people might know this show.
First off, it was 6 seasons?
It was 6 seasons.
That is a surprise to me. Wow. 120.
Okay. And also the quality started to suffer towards the end there. And they dropped a lot of like narrative that they like were trying to set up. And they were like, we got a shoehorn. They were like, you got one more season. You better
get it in.
Yeah.
Better tie whatever bows you got open. But I don't know why. All right. So it's basically like a supernatural drama meets like a police procedural.
Okay.
So it's like Grimm fairy tales meets law, like Law and Order or like more so like a NYPD Blue.
NYPD Blue.
Sure. Okay.
And not as good as any of them. but this is what happened. And I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say like I'm obsessive with certain things, but so we were watching Billy on the Street, great show.
Sure.
And he was doing an opening where he was talking to people and like, for a dollar, you know, are you watching NBC's Grimm? It's fairy tales with a twist. And he keeps like saying that to people. Are you watching NBC's Grimm? And we were dying laughing. And we were like, what is NBC's Grimm?
Well, it's fairy tales with a twist, Casey. That's what it is.
I know. So I put it on. I watched 2 full episodes and I never stopped watching. I think I just, you know, like I put it on my DVR because I was like, I watched 2 and I was like, okay, it was bad. Like, actually, I think like the first 2 episodes or so are like bad. It hits some sort of stride that like who's staying around for.
Right.
But I loved it. It's like this trashy TV that I don't feel guilt. I mean, I feel guilty saying it out loud because I think there's judgment, but
there's no judgment here.
I didn't feel guilty watching it. Like there was something that I really liked about everything was really simple. You know, plots were pretty simple. They had just enough twists and turns. I knew the characters. They had like a limited amount of characters. There was like a decent amount of humor, not always, never really great humor, never really great action. Right.
But like camp, you know, it's a camp sort of vibe.
It was camp. And it made me feel like I've almost liked that I'm the only one watching this show. Like I never found like a, they didn't have Discord at the time, but like, I never found like a group that was like, yo, we're like grim heads. But I think it exists. Like, I think I've looked up online, at least like a Reddit or something.
There's got to be a Reddit thread dedicated.
This feels like the sort of show that's in 6 months will be a top 10 on Netflix when it gets added to the service or something. You know what I mean? Like it'll be one of those like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shoot, yeah, genre, grim, like a IP that I recognize. There's 6 seasons. Great, I could just binge this thing. Like, it feels like it's begging for like a comeback on a streaming service, you know?
I think I could see that because it's not, I don't think it's bad enough for it to be, you know? So if someone watched it and you're like, it's surprisingly like, it's got a great narrative. Like, right. and they start by taking like direct fairy tales. So there's like a little Red Riding Hood and then like a wolf. And that's an episode. And then they kind of create this world where like all the wolves are called like Blutbots or something. And then all so people turn into like half animal, half humans. And then they kind of drop the whole, like every episode is like a different story, like a little fairy tale.
Oh, it gets more serialized.
To like, this is the world now. But there's still like, oh, these people are coming from like, you know, from Germany, that like these, you know, beasts are coming from Germany, that, you know, the prophecy said they'd come to the new world and like, we need to do it. And it's all happening in Portland, Oregon, but not like cool Portland. There's no like actual cool Portland. No, it's all just, like,
it's like a lot of wooded areas, Portland, you know,
it's like Stephen King Portland or something.
Sure. It's funny. I remember. So when you said that, when you named the show and you said Grimm, I had like a bolt of remembering, because this came out, I want to guess, probably, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it feels like a turn of the 2010s, like 29, 10, 11 or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says, yeah, I just pulled it up. So it says October of 2011 to March of 2017.
That sounds right. So this was like one of those cusp shows that hit before streaming and before binging, and was able to sustain a run of 5 or 6 seasons at 20 episodes a clip. You know what I mean? But I remember watching it because it was exciting when it came out. It felt like, oh, this is going to be a cool, you know, kind of nerd fantasy thing that I like on. And it was the time when there wasn't so much coming out that you could watch every show that premiered on networks and like have an opinion on them. So I remember watching the first couple episodes of Grimm.
Oh, you did.
And not thinking very highly of it, and then stopped watching.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I understand the appeal, and I understand, especially like going back, I feel like it might have a bigger pull than it did then, given how people watch TV and the sort of shows and the sort of IP that is made now. It feels like it was kind of made in the wrong time. If it were made now, it might be a different and more successful show.
Yeah. I actually, going back to like what I was saying before, with other shows that don't wrap it up, I do think that they wrapped everything that they set out to do. Mm-hmm. And they had like some really fun, like they'd set up a bad guy and then that bad guy's actually like helps them later. And then this other person who becomes bad, like there's enough like of that stuff that you're like, whoa, cool. Like, I like that they did that. I just can't believe I watched it week to week. I didn't watch it like live. I watched it on DVR, and I was young enough. Like, it was, you know, like in 2013 or 12, I was probably like coming home drunk and watching it. I probably don't remember those episodes, but
I mean, look, I remember the posters for it in the subway. I remember the ads for it, but I was already into another fairy tale show called Once Upon a Time. So like, yes, my plate was full.
I watched that one for longer.
I watched it for way too long. Like, I didn't watch it till the end, but I did watch it until like they started to kind of wrap it up and needed to like be like, okay, now we all live in the real world now. Okay,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, I did like that show. I liked the first season of that show, and then that fell off for me too. So, but Casey, one last question about Grimm. You mentioned that,
yes,
so it did tie its bows at the end. Are you telling me that Grimm landed its final season better than Lost? Is that what you're saying on the record?
100%. I might even recommend Grimm over Lost. Like Lost, I'm like top like 10 pilots of all time.
Yep.
Like unbelievable. You know, season 1 through 3 are great. Like, I wish somebody could make like an episode that just fixes things at the end of season 3 and that's how it ends. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we need 4 and 5.
Yeah.
I wonder if there, someone could make a super cut that's like this like trippy ending that shows the ending, but like, I don't know.
There's somebody on Reddit working on that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Unexpected pick, but I love it.
Yeah.
Feels very you in hindsight. I really dig it. What's your second favorite show?
Okay. It is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
I can't believe we haven't had this yet. This is fun.
So growing up, I love that show. Every time it was on, I would watch it. I mostly like in reruns and stuff, but I stayed up with it for its entire run. It was, again, like we're going back to like comfort food. It's like, I grew up in an era like loving Will Smith so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've always been a fan of like the songs he makes for movies. Like, I know them by heart, like the movies he puts out. Like, I think he's so good. There was like a whole discussion recently on Reddit that's like, who's the best rapper, who's an actor? And I was like, well, it has to be Will Smith. Like, there are people who are great actors that are probably better actors than Will Smith or better rappers than Will Smith, but no one is a better rapper actor than Will Smith.
It's a great distinction. Pretty good take.
I mean, he's like a blockbuster. You know, did you know that his biggest grossing movie to date is Aladdin? Like, of all the great movies he's had, that like all the blockbusters, Aladdin has done better than everything.
No. Wow. Will Smith Genie made the most money.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. Like over like Men in Black and
Independence Day?
Yeah. Independence Day. Like, I mean, Bad Boys, you name them all. Like, it's like Wild Wild West. We knew that, but I never had to say it.
Wait, what was the one that he was in that it was like the end of the world after Which one? Earth? He did iRobot.
iRobot. He also did.
What was the one that it was him and a dog and it was post-apocalyptic?
That is I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
But he did both. He did I Am Legend and iRobot. And it was like, I am Muhammad Ali as well.
Also true. But back to Fresh Prince. So what about Fresh Prince?
Okay.
Like really sticks with you still. And have you watched it recently? Does it hold up for you?
Oh, absolutely. And I watched The Reunion recently and that's like a tearjerker too. Mm-hmm. I had known and I had prepared for this, but if you don't know, Uncle Phil, the actor has passed, I think in around 2017.
That was really sad.
I know. And they did drama so well. Mm-hmm. Like they did these scenes. And that's because they like Uncle Phil was, I'm blanking on his real name now, but
James Avery.
Incredible actor. And like the fact that he would do a show like that is so cool. It speaks volumes to like where he saw that this show would get into, and it would get into like my home. You know what I mean? Which I think like, aside from just being like charismatic and cool, like I think the Fresh Prince has a lot of heart, you know, no matter where you come from. And I also those first two things, like the charismatic and the humor is also very informative for me at a young age. And, you know, like the relationships with like Carlton and, you know, his sisters or his cousins in it. I just think it was a big ensemble, like Jeffrey. Jazz. Like there are so many, they balanced all these characters and personalities like so well. Yeah.
Did they talk in the reunion about the two Aunt Vivs?
Yes. And they both show up. And Will like has this interesting like apology in that like he was just kind of like, I was young and, you know, like I don't think I thought much about what that impact would be like on your life. And I, you know, I, like looking back now, because the original, both Aunt Vivs are great for different reasons, but the original Aunt Viv like really brought like
she was great.
She was so dynamic and so great. And like, he's like, looking back now to think that I, you know, even just if the rumor was that I said you were difficult, to say like that just a woman was difficult at that, you know, is I'm looking back now and I can't believe that happened. And he's like, I think I've grown so much and I'm sorry that you had to go through all that. It was like a really beautiful, tender moment.
That's awesome.
That you don't really see. Like that never happens in a reunion. A reunion doesn't usually show you that kind of stuff. He just keeps it upbeat. And he's like, this is a problem that I think like other, hopefully other shows can learn from this moment. It was cool.
Yeah. It also feels like the sort of moment that feels like was influenced by what the rest of his family's been doing with Red Table Talks. It feels like a very Red Table moment, kind of in the middle of a fun, we're all here show reunion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really cool. It is that's a good way to describe it. But I was a big fan of everyone, even like Tatiana Ali. I remember like, she put out an album. I was like, gonna listen to that.
it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I can't even remember, I think, a song on it, but she had a good voice.
Mm-hmm. Do you have favorite episodes, favorite moments when you like when you think of Fresh Prince? What are the moments that come to your head first?
It's interesting. I grew up like playing drums, and I was like, why am I interested in drums? And there's a scene where Will Smith is like playing drums, and I'm like, oh, that's probably why I wanted to play drums. there are scenes like where like there's like some legal scenes like where they get in trouble with cops, and there's this stuff like where James Avery like kind of comes in and like, you know, like they handle like racism so well with things like that. Those are ones that I remember at the time being like, that's so unfair. Like I really was watching like, that's so unfair. Like it's like this like little white boy in Staten Island that's like, but I think those are good lessons to like, you know, like even going back to X-Men, you know, it shows you a side of the world that I don't think I would have seen much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just humor wise, I mean, it's just like it's a sitcom. So it's like one liner city. And
yeah,
I think that stuff was like really big for, you know, especially with the show I work on where you're like supposed to say like surprising things. I think like every character had their own way of doing that.
I loved when the whole family would come in, like the Will's mom.
Yes. Yeah. Cause who was coming from, obviously, yeah, from Philadelphia. From
Philly, yeah.
Cause he got in one little fight.
Yeah. And she got
she
scared.
Was she was nervous.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to send you across the country because of this one little fight. Admitted it was just one and it was little, but you have to go across the country. There's got to be something else there, right?
There's some dynamic that's been unexplored there, you know?
Yeah.
I do remember asking my mom if she did perhaps have a sister who lived in Bel Air that she hadn't told us about.
Oh, that's funny.
Brandy, what else about watching the show growing up? What were some moments that you recall fondly from watching that show?
I don't know. I just loved, first of all, I always, and I still think that Will Smith looks a little bit like my brother, but like my brother is even younger than me. So like, he was like a little kid, but I was like, and they dressed alike. Like my brother dressed like the Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
but I just loved, I love any like family show. And so I loved being in their house. You know, and like, I really wanted to be exactly like Ashley. I was like, I thought she had a charmed life. And I was like, I would love to be her. And I just, yeah. So I don't know if I have any specific, I'm remembering the episode where they all went skiing. I think it was like over Christmas.
Deck the slopes with babes in tight pants. La 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 la. Cough is gone, I get some romance. La 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 la. No, you're not, cause you're too ugly. La 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 la. They'll all be in my room, cute and snuggly.
I remember really loving that episode, but also it could just be that episode was on a lot. Because I feel like lot of like the shows from back then, it's like, was that my favorite episode? Or was that episode just always on when I turned it on?
I know.
Yeah. Like I think about like with Saved by the Bell, I'm like, oh my God, I love this episode. It's like, no, that episode was just always on.
Right, right. Caffeine pills all the time.
caffeine pills. Those shows that were on all the time, not just the episodes, but just even just the shows that were on all the time. It's really hard to like pick a favorite because it's like, I've seen so many Full Houses that it's like really hard to remember like which one starts one way and ends another way, or like, is this the whole episode? Or am I mixing two? It's just, they all bleed together in a weird way. Even like the ages, like I'm like, oh, was this episode? No, because she'd be dating a guy there, but I thought DJ was a child there, you know, the storylines kind of get mixed, but yeah, it's just a fun show. I implore you to watch the reunion. It's really fun.
I want to. It's HBO Max.
Yeah. And they do a lot of like nice behind the scenes, like about like how they like would warm up the crowd and like what they would all do and like how they're a family. I think they show Carlton's audition.
Wow.
So that might be worth it enough to see.
Okay. Okay.
Totally worth it.
I'm wow. sold.
Casey,
yes.
I don't think we'll ever get quite the dynamic duo of favorite shows as you are listening.
NBC's Grimm and Fresh Prince.
NBC's Grimm. what was the Billy the Street line? NBC's Grimm.
Fairy tales with a twist. Yep.
And the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, iconic. So now this brings us to the final category.
Yes.
The forever shows. What are you watching on loop forever? So a couple of clarifications.
Sure.
That we didn't mention earlier. You're not allowed to skip any episodes. You mm-hmm. have to watch from pilot to finale or most recent episode. It can be a show that's still airing.
Okay.
Allowing you to kind of rack up episodes on rewatch. And you are allowed to jump between your two shows. So you can do like four or five episodes of one and then jump to the other for a change of pace.
Oh, I'm even more confident in my pick.
Oh, I love it. Perfect. What's your first forever show?
The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised by this because you mentioned that
yes.
as a Staten Islander, you did not get into it initially.
At the time.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, so I didn't start the show until it was completely finished. Mm-hmm. I had not watched the show until the entire, I think there's like 8 seasons or something. I'm blanking because they did that like half season thing too towards the end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I got into it much later. And I was always adverse, like I had an aversity to it because of growing up in Staten Island. Like everyone was like obsessed with it. It was like, it's like liking the Yankees in Staten Island. You know what right. I mean? You're like, oh my God, really? Like I was Mets all the way. I was like that was the most different I could be. I was almost like the
Such
Trenton Blue
Claw.
I was almost the Trenton Blue Claw. So I was like trying to be so different, like a minor league team in a different state. But yeah, the thing that I think that eventually I just thought, I want to see what the show's all about. Mm-hmm. And I think someone had burned me a DVD of the first season.
Old school.
And I put it on and I was pretty, I can't say instantly hooked because the pilot is like good. It's really good, but it's not what the magic of the show is later on. It's still great mm-hmm. and it holds up. And it was interesting. I think the reason why we watched Mad Men in the last run was I've now seen Sopranos, I think, 3 times as well all the way okay. through.
Hello.
And I think this last run, we started in season 2, episode 1.
Interesting. Skipped season 1, totally.
Completely skipped season 1. Watched all of it through and then watched the pilot. So we watched in the same night, we watched the finale, the pilot, and then the pilot of Mad Men. And then that kicked off us watching Mad Men for a 3rd time.
That's a cool little triple feature though. That's interesting.
And it was really interesting because it actually took me back in a surprising way to like my childhood. And like, I would catch references that I'm like, oh, everyone was talking about this. That's what that means. That thing from like 20 years ago. I'm like, that's what that is. That's who Big Pussy is. Like all these things. I'm like, what? And you know, a lot of stuff like that. So, and then I every time I watched it, like every episode was great. And the first time through I was like, wow, that's a really, really good show. Mm-hmm. And then like a year or so later, I just found myself, we just like started putting it on again and watching it all the way through.
Right. So my question for you is, it sounds like there's a lot of parallels between your experience with your enjoyment of how you watched both Mad Men and The Sopranos, the creative team overlap there. What differentiated this one as the forever show? What about it do you want to hang out with for all time compared to Mad Men, which you had mentioned really loved yeah. being in that world and just kind of being in that time period?
I think that there are moments that are emotionally deeper. And I give a lot of that to Carmela Soprano, Edie Falco. Mm. Mm. You could see a huge difference between when James Gandolfini is in scenes with like Paulie Walnuts and like, you know, who's like little Steven Van Sant from the Bruce Springsteen band, who does a great job. that's not Paulie, but that's, you know, that's Silvio. But you could see a difference when he's like with those guys and when he's with Carmela Soprano, mm-hmm. aside from just like the fact that it's more drama. But like Edie Falco is like, she's the best actor of the series. And then so James Gandolfini has to like really like up his game, and it's great. And it's written really well. And it's like, there are all these dynamics that, I don't know. There's something about it that I think there's just also, there's more episodes and there's like bigger things happen throughout the whole series.
Right.
For everyone. I just think it's just larger. And I think that's, to me, is like something that I've seen it now so many times, but I look forward to the next time I watch it because there are more things I've yet to discover. Like I have a whole group of friends that watch it and we talk about it all the time. We'll ask questions and like out of nowhere, someone will be like, by the way, like when Christopher said this, like, do you think he knew that that would have, you know, have this ripple right. effect? Yeah. It's like, or like, you know, stuff like that. We're like, no, he's strung out. Like, that's why he said it. Like everyone's got. And so there are these, like, there's more characters too. You know, and there's just like more like odd, like, you know, there's actually probably the same amount of love interest as Don. It's grimier. It's like, I don't know. It's like, if,
does it feel like it's kind of like just a bigger world?
Yeah.
And I explore? Think
maybe, yeah. And maybe it's a world that's closer to me in just in actual proximity.
Proximity and hit some nostalgia buttons for you. You know, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Time period too. Like it, I didn't live through the 60s, but I lived through the, it goes through like 9/11. It does like all these things. That's like really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and I had, you know, people that I knew that like talk and act like this. And it was like, so I think when I that's why I would probably want it forever.
Yeah.
That's probably hitting it on the head. It reminds me of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if like, if I'm in heaven watching this or on a deserted island, it's like, it'll remind me of what life was like in a weird way.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a great reasoning for putting it where it is. Ooh, okay, good pick. Good pick. Yeah. We have one left, one more forever show.
Sweet.
Casey Jost, what's it gonna be?
It's a little show. I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's called Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. You don't say.
Yes, yes.
I love it. Okay, let's talk about it. So if you're listening and don't know what SNL is, no, I'm sure.
Okay. Four friends from high school. so it's, to me, the first thought was there's so many seasons, so many episodes.
Yeah.
Like if it's a deserted island or in heaven, you're like, I would love to have to go through all of it. In, you know, and when you said the thing, like I'd be watching Sopranos mostly, but be like, I need a break. I'm going to go watch a few episodes of SNL.
Right.
And it's like, I could maybe watch like four episodes of like, you know, 1980 SNL and be like, all right, I got to jump back to Sopranos. You know what I mean? Because there's right. probably, there's plenty of duds, but it's also just, even when it's a dud, you're still like, well, I'll have a musical guest.
Yeah.
That'll be different.
There's always a good sketch. Like even if there's like five bad sketches, there's a good sketch. Yeah. I've never seen an episode of SNL where every single sketch is bad.
Yeah. And it's historic because they always like play upon stuff that's happening in time. And so if it's in the past, you're like, oh wow, that must've been happening then. They're making fun of it, you know? And it, I mean, again, just the sheer number of episodes is insane. You know how long it would take to get through the whole thing?
And it's still going.
And that's yeah. So we've had this come up.
Okay,
it was very close to being one of my forever shows. It just missed out by like a hair. It might be the perfect forever show because of the variety. Wait 4 minutes and it changes. If you don't like what you're watching, there's always something new. It's a mirror to society in the afterlife, which could be cool to have and kind of relive, you know, modern history. And then to your point,
it's a snapshot of time.
And then to your point, it's never going to end, right? I don't think it's ever going to end. So like every time you watch it and go back to the beginning, you're banking dozens of episodes by the time you get to the end again, you know? So it's, you get newness, which is great.
And I get to see my brother, which is really sweet. Like as a part of it too, is like, you know what I mean? Like if I'm on a deserted island and I want to pop on and like see my bro, like it's a pretty nice thing for me in that way too.
Yeah. Well, that was my next question. So if you're unaware, Casey Jost is brothers with Colin Jost of SNL currently, Weekend Update anchor and writer, supervising writer, head writer.
Yeah. He's been head writer now for, I mean, he was off at one point, but he's been head writer for a long time now.
Yeah.
And a writer before that. So I also know like which sketches are his. So like, even when he's not on, I'm like, well, that's Colin right there, you know? So there's that too.
Donald Trump remains the front runner for the Republican nomination. Here to comment is someone who claims to be Trump's number one fan, Drunk Uncle. Wow, Drunk Uncle, you seem happier than usual.
It's Trump time, baby! It's like I'm running for president, you know? It's like we have like a million things in common, you know? We both love white Russians. That's one. His dad gave him a $1 million loan. I told my dad I love him. He told me to leave him alone. So, that's two. And his wife's name is Melania, and my doctor said that's what this mole is.
Well, I think you should really get that taken care of.
And let Obamacare win? Barf. Not on my swatch.
So, like, when you think of SNL, not just the show, but, like, the world, the experience, do you have fond memories just from, like, going to tapings and being around your brother while he's writing it? Like, and how does that play into the choice as well?
Yeah, that's, I didn't think about that, but for sure, like, I've got to go, you know, backstage a lot. Like, not, I try not to overstay my welcome, but, like,
right,
you know, pre-pandemic and stuff, we used to go, like, at least, like, to a season or like half season. So like, you know, between September and December, like twice, and then maybe 2 to 3 times in the back half.
Yeah.
We'd always try to go to the finale because they have like the after parties usually at 30 Rock, like down like where the ice is, but you know, covered up. One year they had Mick Jagger was either hosting. No, it was Mick Jagger was hosting and the Foo Fighters were the musical guest. And then at the after party, the Foo Fighters played covers like there, and Mick Jagger came up and sang some, you know, Amy Poehler came up and sang, Fred Armisen jumped on drums at one point. Like they were just like Foo Fighters just became a cover band. They called themselves Chevy Metal. And it was crazy. I was at one, oh, this is the craziest part too. I can't believe I almost forgot this. I'm standing there like in the audience with my wife. And I look over and it's this guy, Fab Moretti from The Strokes, on who's a drummer of The Strokes.
Right.
And he's there and they're playing like and he's doing the drum, like the drummer of the Foo Fighters is doing the drum beat that Charlie Watts from Rolling Stones always did. And I like turned to Fab and I was like, hey, he's playing like the Watts drum beat. And he's like, yeah, he is. Like he's doing it's a little drummer thing that I, as I said,
Fresh Prince.
So anyway, and then I'm like there and I like nudge Lisa and I was just like, and she's just looking to the side and I see it's Don Draper, John Hamm and Big from Sex and the City. Just like drinking like real close, talking to each other, like, you know what I mean? Like buddying up, like, I don't know, getting in the bag or whatever, like getting drunk together. And I was like, that's crazy. Like these two iconic dudes from like TV history, like iconic heartthrobs are like getting boozed up while like Mick Jagger's performing. I was like, what is this moment right now?
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty fun going backstage once in a while. And I think if I remember correctly, like Colin felt like that wasn't a great show and like was like a little mad about it. And like sometimes when that happens, he'll like kind of go to his office and just like hang, like cool down a little bit before he comes out. So I think he like even missed some of this. Like, oh, no. I'm there and I get to witness it. I can't remember if that was the one.
Oh my God, my New York dream.
Brandy, do you want to throw out the twist?
Yes. Yeah, so Casey, the twist.
Okay.
All right. What if we told you that for one of these forever picks, you get to watch the series every time, like it's the first time?
Whoa.
What are you going to pick?
So for one of these, I get to watch it for the first time.
Yeah. Every time you watch it.
Every time you watch it, it's like you memory wipe and you are, it's all new again.
I can't say SNL for that because there's so many episodes I haven't seen in the early on. So I feel like it would be a waste.
Yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, you don't have to choose this. If part of your enjoyment of, if part of the reason why you chose The Sopranos is the layers of rewatching, you don't have to choose it, but it's an option available to you.
Mm-hmm. No, I want this. Because I do, there, you know, like I thought this before, like a friend of mine said this when I first started playing that game we love with the Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was like, oh man, I wish I could like do the Men in Black, like mind erase to play that game again.
Exactly.
Because there's something when you first play it, when you first walk out and everything's new that you can't get upon like a second play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's similar with some of these shows. I'm going to break some hearts here, but I'm not picking NBC's Grimm. Because I think I drank enough at that time in my life that if I rewatch, I'd be like, oh, like it would feel like a new show. I don't think I'll pick Fresh Prince because I also think that that's a show that I do like that I've seen it before. It'll hit harder. Mm-hmm. It'll like, especially as I'm older now.
Yeah.
Like I think it'll hit in a different way. it truly comes down to like a Sopranos, Mad Men, or like a Nathan For You. Wow, it's actually pretty tough because I was gonna cut Nathan For You off, but I'm also thinking like that show's full of surprise.
Yeah,
you know that you wouldn't get a second time around. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think I just sold myself. You know, because on Nathan, because I think it actually has the biggest. It has the biggest twists and turns.
It does. Mm-hmm. It has the most shocking moments, like the mm-hmm. per capita anyway. Like every episode, you're going to get your mind blown every time, you know?
And also, swear to God, even this like third round of Mad Men and Sopranos, I was like, this happens? Like, there were definitely times that I like forgot. I was just like, whoa, Christopher. Like, I swear. So I think like I'm dumb enough that I get surprised by things I've seen.
I love it. And you know what's great is, as you are wont to do, a slight misunderstanding of the rule here. We were just asking about your Forever show, but here's the thing. This is a moving, growing show. I kind of like this version better. I kind of like asking about the whole criteria. I think you just added a layer.
Too.
I'm going to let it go. Exactly.
That all intentional.
Yeah.
All right. So to recap, Casey's list, an incredible list, one that I don't think will be repeated. To recap, Mad Men and Nathan For You are the best shows that Casey Jost has ever seen. Grimm and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air are his favorite shows of all time.
NBC's Grimm.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
I apologize. NBC's Grimm and The Fresh mm-hmm. Prince of Bel-Air are his favorite shows of all time. And he would watch The Sopranos and Saturday Night Live forever. Great list. Brandy, of these six picks, what is the most interesting to you?
The most interesting, but that I'm probably never going to watch, is NBC's Grimm.
NBC's Grimm. It's fairy tales of the twist.
I also love Nathan For You because I feel like that's an under the radar, really, really awesome show that like needs to just get some more love. And so I love that you picked that and that we're talking about it and that it's in the conversation because it is really good and just really fun. I feel like I haven't seen all of the episodes and I want to go and watch some more.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Dan, what about you? What stands out?
I was floored by NBC's Grimm. that like moments like that are why I created this show. Like, who knew? So surprising, but like knowing you, it makes a ton of sense. Yeah. And I loved everything about it. And now I kind of want to go back and watch that pilot at least.
I highly recommend it. NBC's Grimm, NBC's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, both great shows.
NBC's SNL, big NBC guy here.
Yeah, I'm a company man. Even though I got fired from Fallon.
So Casey, before we sign off, we always end with a couple lightning round questions. And for this, it's the total opposite of the criteria. Don't overthink it. First thing that comes to your head is what we want to know. So what's a canceled show, not on your criteria, that we haven't talked about, a canceled show that you would revive if you could?
I would say Dog Bites Man.
What is Dog Bites Man? I don't know this.
Okay. It was on Comedy Central and it's got like Zach Galifianakis and Andrea Savage and Matt Walsh.
Whoa.
From UCB.
Whoa, this is a great cast.
And A.D. Miles, who was
Fallon head writer. Right?
And it's unbelievable. It's really funny, and it's they're like a news team that goes into, there's hidden camera elements, but they do like these like vignettes that are scripted, and then they go to like an unscripted world. It's really good.
Ooh, right on. Next question: what is a book or a movie that should be adapted into a TV series?
Okay, I mean, should I say Zelda now? Because I know it's not. That's I know not it's a not, book, a book or a movie, not a book or a movie, but you know I break rules.
Well, here's the thing. Now that you mentioned that, so I think you can, and here's why. Because I had one of the very first conversations when I was still kind of figuring out what the format of this was. I talked to my brothers and asked them different questions and their criteria, and I asked them this question. My brother Tim, who you've met and you know is also a big Zelda head,
love Tim.
He says,
big Tim fan over here,
and without missing a beat. He was like, the book I choose is the Hyrule Historia that allows me to then create a Zelda TV show. So I think it's
great.
They have enough literature that you could choose a Zelda book and turn into a TV series.
Yes.
Last lightning round question. What's a recent series you've been obsessed with that people should check out? What have you been watching lately?
Oh, we just watched a series called Generation.
Oh, I've heard it's HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had never heard anything about it. It's delightful. It's like sort of a more like it's similar to like yeah, Euphoria, but it's I think a little better. It's like a little bit lighter, but still with like some heavy tones. And I like it. I thought it was really good. I didn't expect to like it. Lisa just put it on and I just started watching it and we finished the whole series. It's only one season right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really great.
Love it.
Cool. With that, it is a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs. So thank you so much to our guest, Casey Jost. Casey, where can we find you and what are you up to?
You can find me, I guess I'm on peripherally on everything as at Casey Jost. I don't look for too much of a content creator. I'm not, should be more, really selling myself.
Bring back Staten Island News is what I think every time. Yep. Come on.
You could go binge those if you want to watch that series of Instagram posts. Yeah, I haven't been doing too much. Just I got a dog over quarantine. It's my favorite part of my life.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife and I are having a lot of fun with our dog. And as things are starting to slowly open up, we've been dipping our toes into, you know, more outdoor dining and stuff. And that's, you could find me eating outside.
Fuck yeah.
All right. So please rate, review, subscribe, and check us out on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast, or you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, absolutely. We would love to hear from you all. So please reach out and send us your six. We want to know what are your top six shows of all time and where they fall on your own BFF criteria. So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the show. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.